Now, did you get that first line of the gospel today? As it was in the days of Noah, it read. Jesus presumes that everyone knows how it was in the days of Noah. And knowing that is essential to knowing what Jesus is talking about. What is described there is people eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage. Normal behavior. That's just what you do. But it also says that the earth was corrupt and full of lawlessness. Now again, not meaning to sound cynical, but nothing has changed. Normal stuff. We're still eating and drinking, giving in marriage, and the earth is still full of lawlessness. What's absent in the days of Noah is any obvious attention to God. They're just going about their day in and day out stuff, eating and drinking and giving in marriage. You see, nothing's unusual. What's missing, then, is this relationship with God that would make a difference in the way things are. What it then says is that Noah found favor with God. And what Noah did that no one else would do is listen to God. Noah did what God asked. He did what made no sense to anyone else. He built a big boat. He risked the ridicule of everyone to do what God asked him. So that's the way it was in the days of Noah. People just going about their lives day in and day out, paying no attention to God. But there was one person who was listening and obedient to God. And because of that obedience and willingness to take a risk, there was salvation. Now, I hope you can make this connection between Jesus and Noah. Matthew wants to do that. Notice how Jesus describes life then at his time. Two men are in the field. Two women are grinding at the mill. Normal things, just like eating and drinking, giving in marriage, you see? These are the ordinary things of life. But the difference between them is that one of them is awake. We could add that two people were sitting in a church. One will be taken and one will be left. Which one will you be is perhaps what we ought to consider here. Matthew urges us in the mouth of Jesus to stay awake, which means a lot more than not sleeping through the sermon, okay? The two in the field or at the mill may not be sleeping, but they may not be really awake, totally awake. This disposition or this attitude or wakefulness is a kind of spiritual awakening. We've got to be spiritually awake, alive, and alert, which means living in the awareness that God is among us and that God is with us, Emmanuel. That ancient Hebrew word is a proclamation more than a wish. On the lips of believers, it proclaims that God has come. Christ has died. Christ is risen. And what's the third acclamation? Oh, come on. I want you to proclaim it. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Yes, it's an acclamation. And the key word is again. That's the word that gives it focus. He comes again because he's already come. For those who are awake and aware and attentive, this is the guiding principle behind everything that we do, every choice we make, every way that we respond to the events and challenges of this life. Two men are in the field. One is taken, one is left behind. Which one do you want to be? One is left behind, is working in that field because he thinks that's all there is. The one taken has been doing that work for the praise of God in whose presence he lives while working that field. Two women at the mill. One is taken, one is left behind. The one taken grinds that grain and makes that bread, conscious at every moment that it's all a gift from God, and all the effort of that work is a song or a prayer of gratitude because she's spiritually awake and never forgets why she has the grain to bring to the mill. How's it going to be for us who hear this gospel and are urged to wake up and listen to God's word? Live with the full attention in the conviction that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and that Christ will come again. If you're folding clothes out of the dryer, every fold is a litany of thanks that you have something extra to clean and fold. If you hit a ball in the rough, instead of saying what you might say, a smile breaks out. Because you're standing there with the time and the resources to play that game. Not because God has blessed you with riches, but because you have a little more time to think about what it's all for. You sit in traffic and become impatient because someone else is slow ahead of you. But if you're spiritually awake, you might recognize that this little extra time is not being taken from you by someone who's slow, but given to you so that you might wake up and look around. It is better to be the one taken while in grateful prayer and reflection than the one who's filling a barn with things they will never see, need, or use. My friends, this day in the life of our faith and our church is ultimately about time. A sense of urgency comes from Isaiah, and Paul gives us a timely reminder about the salvation we've already found in the light of Christ. All of this is then confirmed by Luke, who urges us to live spiritually awake, alive, and prepared. For not at any moment, but in every moment, God is with us.